scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 29 and 28.
On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you to the choir. It's good to have the choir back and singing. I enjoy that song. I started singing that song with y'all. I didn't realize it wasn't my song, it wasn't our song, so I quit that. And, you know, the other connection I made was, I've been calling UMW, you know, since I've been Methodist. And so women of faith. I'll make that transition, just kind of prod me whenever I miss it, and I'll get it right. Women of faith, right? Okay, huh? Jews not in faith, women in faith. Gotcha, so it's not women of faith. So I thought I had it, now I don't even have that. Women in, right, I'll get there eventually. Well, last Sunday, it was a great Sunday, had a great time. We had worship, we had food, we had lunch afterwards. We had these great conversations around tables, talking about the future of the church, vision of the church. Talked about our direction as we look into some things moving forward. Lifted up five areas. Those five areas, I said, hey, as we look towards our future, let's think about these things. First, you know, I talked about emphasis in discipleship and that Christian process. The importance of always lifting that up first and foremost. And then talked about us being a sending church, which is really unique to First United Methodist Church. We send pastors out and people out into ministry. And that's a great part of that's a rich part of our heritage. We want to continue to be that type of church. The other three things I talked about starting a contemporary service and what that's going to look like and how that will begin to kind of evolve here soon. Talked about future building renovations and taking this facility and making some changes. And then last, finding ways to support what's a rising kind of homeless population around our church. Then talking to some other folks in other areas, and that's kind of growing everywhere. And so how are we as a church going to respond? These are our neighbors, right? Like literally, I can walk outside my door and the church door, and there they are. So we had some great conversations last week, very good. We took those conversations, made them into a document. Those have gone out to the board members so that all of our board members can see the feedback and kind of respond to the feedback that we got last week. Thank you for attending if you were there last week. I have to say this last year has been very amazing. It's been an amazing year. As a church, like, we have moved out of neutral. We had COVID, and so COVID put us in a neutral where we'd never been before, and we've just jumped from neutral to second gear, I would say, and made that transition. I've watched so many of you support ministries in great ways. I'm just so thankful for how you all said yes to ministry again. People have given financially of themselves in large ways. I've never seen it on the scale that I see here at First United Methodist Church. People financially supporting the church. And on top of that, our church is also blessed with some volunteers. We got some volunteers who really give next level. Like, if they wanted to be staff members, they would just have to ask me and twist my arm a little bit, and we'd find a way to do it, because we've got some volunteers that just continually give of themselves in top level, just almost staff type ways. And so, as far as I'm concerned, we just have so much to be thankful for here at First United Methodist Church. And hopefully I think that thankfulness comes out in our worship. God is continually good. He is so good. He's so good to us as his children. And in all that is to come, I know God is faithful to us. He will be faithful to us. It is who he is. He is good. He is worthy of your worship, your commitment. That's why you're here this morning. You know that. That's why you're here. God loves our church and is all about finding ways. He wants us to find ways, just like I talked about last week, to be healthy and vital. Healthy and vital for ourselves, for our community. That health and vitality might emanate from this place into our community. And the Lord loves you enough. He's gifted. He has gifted you with this beautiful world that we get to reside in. He's gifted you with this church that blesses you and that you bless. God loves you and the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. Right? John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. God withheld nothing from us. He withheld nothing from us, but instead he gave to us all the best of who he is. We received his best. So one day, when all of God's best was walking along on the earth, that best had a name. The name was Jesus. He was helping and healing and serving. It's what he continually did, was help, heal, and serve. A Jewish expert in the law found him and asked him a really important question. The Jewish leader asked this of Jesus: what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? And Jesus responds, you must love the Lord your God with all of who you are. I'm paraphrasing, right? Love God with all of who you are, all that is best about you. Love God with all of your heart and your soul and your strength and your mind and your love. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all these things. So, how well do you do loving God with all of who you are? With all of your being. Now, I've been here for over a year, right? A year, 2 months, year, 3 months. I've intentionally spoken very little about something that I'm pretty passionate about. I try to kind of key it down as I came in, and so I'm kind of excited to bring it up today. About 5 or 6 years ago, I learned about something that I think helped me learn to love better. It helped me learn to love better. I consumed myself with it. I learned it. I received additional trainings. I went to different conferences, things, got certifications in it. And this really weird thing is called the Enneagram. The Enneagram. And the Enneagram is a weird name for a symbol that's a tool. It's really a tool. A tool to understanding why we as people behave the way we do, how we're different, how we're similar. And the Enneagram comes from ancient wisdom, which I don't know if you know this, but in the church we're really big fans of ancient wisdom. Right? This, too, is ancient wisdom about kind of what our personalities are. Like, where do those personalities come from? What are those things that drive us, those things that motivate us, those things that form us, and actually continue to form us, right? We got some motivation, some voices sometimes, right? They're kind of speaking to us and directing us in the back of our heads. And one of the first ways you begin to teach the wisdom of the Enneagram connects with our passage. I believe. Even though the Enneagram explains personality in types of 9 primary personalities, it kind of says, look, there's 9 kind of people in the world. Those 9 types come out of what we call in Enneagram speak 3 intelligent centers. 3 intelligent centers, right? An intelligent center is a place within our body where we tend to kind of instinctively go to make decisions about what we're going to do in a moment. And those 3 intelligent centers that they often refer to are head, heart, and body. Head, heart, and body. Does that sound vaguely familiar yet? Does that sound like something else we're talking about today? Now, friends, this is pretty easy, actually. As we begin to kind of look at this, pretty easy. For instance, there are some of you out there, there are some people here, and you are your head people, right? Your head people. And head people are very comfortable thinking and planning and considering and analyzing, and you're such a head person, you can't shut your head off, right? Like even when you're sleeping, it's still going. And then there are heart people, right? And heart people are very loving and caring and thoughtful, and you're just sacrificial, and you can't figure out why other people aren't more sacrificial, because you're so sacrificial, right? You're just this heart person. And last, there are body, or what we also call gut people. Body or gut people. And body or gut people tend to be intuitive. They are action-oriented doers. Like, everything translates from a thought to action like that, and they actually get bored very easily and frustrated in meetings because they just, like, why aren't we going? Why aren't we doing? And these body people also tend to be protectors. They're very protective. You know, once again, they're intuitive, and they can get physical quickly. Body people. Now, all of us as people have access to all three of these intelligent centers. All of us consist of head, heart, and body or gut or strength, right? But the wisdom of the Enneagram teaches us that all of us at one point in our life learn to trust one, maybe two places within ourselves at a very young age. We just instinctively learn that. And also, we tend to shut down one or two, right? We tend to shut down one or two, and then we tend to obsess about one. We obsessively go to our head or our heart or our body. We just learn that's where I should go to make decisions. So some of us at an early age learn not to trust our head or our thinking. Now try not to laugh too hard, right? Now, church, this is a really hard one for us to kind of reckon with, right? This shutting down of not trusting headspace. Why do people sometimes go to church? Maybe it's so someone will provide them the answers about God in the Bible, right? Like, there's a professional there. You tell me, right? I don't trust myself to make those kinds of decisions, but my church, they provide this person who's done all this training, and he or she will tell me kind of what all the answers are. So I believe what they tend to tell me to believe. That's what I believe. You see, some of this is going to hit home in some pretty astounding ways, pretty quickly, right? So if you tend to be someone who has gone to the same type of church your whole life, right? They've got the answers. Or, hey, here we go. If you're comfortable kind of getting your news from one source, right? And you've learned you can trust that one source. Or if you're someone who tends to think about something new, you can't make a decision about something new until you go check in with your people. Whoever your people are, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your Tuesday morning coffee friends, maybe, who knows, but you can't make decisions until you go check in with those people, then you may not trust your head. You may not trust your intellect to kind of make those decisions. Friends, it's hard to fully love God and others from your mind because you don't feel safe or confident making those types of decisions. You don't feel confident doing that, right? And so that's some of you who've learned to not trust that headspace. Then there's some of us, we've learned not to trust our hearts. You can't trust your heart. You might be afraid of that much emotion. Right? Like, emotion kind of freaks you out. It might get out of control. Like, when all the emotions come, like, I don't think I could deal with that. I don't think others could deal with that. And so people to you might seem kind of needy, right? They're kind of needy, and you're afraid that if they come to you and they have all these emotional needs, you can't meet those emotional needs. I don't know that I can help you with, if you could stop crying, I could talk to you right now. But until you stop crying, I can't help you. Loving God might sound a little bit weird to you if you shut off that heart space. You're comfortable learning about God. You're learning. You can serve God in some way. You can physically do that. But this love thing, like, you're not sure about that. People who talk about loving God or their love for something else, to you they seem a little bit over the top. They seem a little excessive. They seem a little dramatic. Like, why all the drama? And so it's hard to fully love God and to love others when you're actually terrified to open up that part of yourself. You're terrified. When you live in constant fear of, like, what if I'm embarrassed because of it? What if people judge me because of this, because I'm too emotional, because I connect with this stuff? So that might be you. If you're someone, some of those things resonated, you might be kind of shut down to what's in your heart. And then last, some of us have learned not to trust our bodies or our gut. We've learned that's not safe space. And so you might feel somewhat disconnected from your body or your ability to do physical things, right? To do physical stuff. You prefer to watch. I like watching people do those things. Or you like to plan. Or you like to think about what you're going to maybe do. But doing the work kind of makes you feel a little squeamish to get into the activity of it all. You've never really felt compelled to do a mission trip. You're just like, hey, we got a mission trip. You're like, well, good for those people going on that mission trip. You know, that sounds scary, right? It might take a lot of convincing. Like, hey, we need volunteers. Like, you know, we need volunteers to do this. And you're like, well, if the pastor, like, comes and asks me, maybe I'll do it. But if not, no way am I doing it, right? I'm here. Being a leader in the church might be scary for you, right? Because that means you've got to step out front of people some. And you've got to be kind of out there. And that can be kind of scary to be out there in that way, to be kind of fully present in that way. And so loving God with all of your strength or all of your body or activity, with all this activity, it's hard because it requires a lot more of you than showing up. And like a lot of days, you feel pretty good when you just showed up. It feels like a win, right? You're like, Pastor, I'm here. Give me some credit. I really didn't want to come today. I had my paper. I had my coffee. Like, I was in my happy spot. But here I am. So bring the bar down some. So, now, perhaps you can see that this very simple response to the expert in the law from Jesus was actually not so simple for most of us. It's not that simple. To love God with all of who you are, with all of your mind, and all of your heart, and all of your strength in your body, it is actually a lifelong challenge for most of us. And I think as we age, we begin to kind of see where, like, not being fully connected has created lots of issues in our lives with other people and other things and doing things. And we get kind of clear perspective on that. Because what our personalities actually consist of, like what a personality is generally just an emphasis in one of these things, followed by maybe kind of a secondary that you're a little more comfortable with, followed by another one that's actually generally completely absent from us. We struggle to connect to the world in one of those ways. Do some of you today have a sense of what I'm talking about? Right? Like, is this hitting home for some of you? I saw some of you nudging somebody next to you. But how's your awareness of what's going on in your life? As I describe what it means to just disengage from mind and heart and body, did you feel maybe like I was talking to you at one point? You were like, oh yeah, he's got my number. So let's see, with a raise of hands, we'll practice some group vulnerability, if you will, right? Because we're all great at that. And so maybe it's one area, maybe it's a couple areas that you really resonate with. So feel free to kind of put your hands up a couple times if you want. There are a couple of them, right? So if you believe you have a distrust or some disconnect from your body, that action time, kind of raise your hand if you're like, yeah, that was me. I kind of struggled there. Okay, great. Heart, like you kind of distrust that heart, that emotion, that feeling. Raise your hand if you kind of distrust that, yeah, great. And last, headspace, right? that head, that thinking, man, you really distrust that whole process. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so now I'm going to flip it on you. Now let's reverse it. So where are you dominant? Can you kind of tell where you're dominant, right? What do you tend to go to the most? So if you tend to go to your head the most, you go to this headspace, raise your hand. You overthink things. Yeah, okay, great. Now, heart, like you're just quick to go with the emotion and the heart connection, and that's just, it just comes out. Okay, great. And what's that lead? Is that body? Like if you're body-ish, like you just got to do it. Like just get out of my way, don't slow me down. Yep. Yeah, I know who you all are. I see you all out there. Okay, great. So it's really helpful in our lives to, and I do some coaching around this, right? So I've done some coaching with people. It's really helpful to understand which you are most dominant in and which you tend to actually shy away from and tend to eliminate from your life. Know these things. Jesus said, here's what he said. He said that the way to life is to love God with all of your mind and all of your heart and all of your strength and body, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, we might say that was one of his greatest commands, is to love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your mind, all your body. Now, later in the scriptures, right? Later in the scriptures, Jesus told the disciples in the Great Commission, he said, look, disciples, now I want you to make more disciples. That's your job. We call that the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission. And he said, so what you need to do in the Great Commission is you need to make disciples and you need to teach them to obey all the things that I've commanded you. That's what needs to be my disciple, to obey my commands, to learn to love God with all of your mind, with all of your heart, with all of your body or strength, is to love God fully with all of who you are. But many of us are disconnected from all of who we are. And we've been disconnected since we were a child. So here are some ways to risk connecting with all of who you are. And I say that it's a risk because what I'm asking you to do today, I know it's uncomfortable. It will be uncomfortable for you. It could be that your experience showing up and being present to God or others through your head and your heart or your body, that it hasn't necessarily been a good experience for you. You can kind of point to some different times where you did that and it didn't go well. And yet, that's exactly what you have to do in order to love God more fully with all of who you are. So to kind of wrap it up, to bring this home, here are some ways for you to push into this. For those of you who are able to identify, this is my weak spot. This is where I've got some suggestions as we close here. First of all, for those of you who need to love God with all of your head, all of your mind, like you struggle with that, you struggle to connect with that thinking, here's some things for you to think about this week. Three opportunities. First of all, think about reading scripture this week, and as you read the scriptures, know that God is speaking to you through those scriptures. He's saying something. It's a living word. And so trust what he is saying to you. Second idea, spend some time journaling this week. You know, people who are action or who can kind of struggle with that. So spend some time journaling. Think about the ways that God has blessed you. Write some of those blessings down. Start keeping a blessings diary. Or journal some of your core beliefs. Your core beliefs. Right? What do you believe as a result of your faith? Write down some scriptures to kind of back it up. Really, really push into that. And I've got a scripture for each of these too. And so if you're kind of struggling with that headspace, here's a scripture for you this week. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. There's your scripture passage. Tattoo it on yourself for this week, right? Okay, so that's for folks who struggle with the heart or with the head. Here's for those of you that struggle with the heart. Like you're like, yeah, Pastor Jim, this is really hard to step into that part of myself. Three things. Think about writing a love letter to God. Write a love letter to God. Be like the psalmist. That's what the Psalms are. Write this love letter. Tell God what you love about him and why you love him. Or another thought, do something kind or thoughtful for someone else because of your love for them. I mean, you may not be able to show it all the time, but now I'm asking you to show it. Trust God to guide you in that. What's something that you could do for them? Or, last thing, say or pray something kind or loving to someone or to God, right? Just search your heart. Search your heart. I'm going to say something really kind or sweet to my wife or to my friend or to my neighbor. Like, I'm just going to let God lead me in that. Scripture passage for you. You need some scripture help? Here's a great one. Mary, wonderful, wonderful woman, loved the Lord. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. John 12:3. Can you see how she loved him and how she demonstrated that? And even the smell of perfume, you know, the sense of love. So that's for those of you with kind of some heart struggles. Last group, body struggles, like the activity and the action and moving from thought to action is sometimes so hard. Three ideas for you this week. Three ideas. First of all, pray or worship in a different position. Right? Tonight, when you say those prayers, get down on your knees next to that bed. Say those prayers on those knees. Lift your hands up. Get big. Get big, right? You know, pray. Say thank you to God. Whatever it is, just change that up like that. Second thing to do if you struggle with the body stuff, the action stuff, how about at your church? Did you read the bulletin today? There has to be 25 places where we say, if you'd like to help, we're talking to you! Right? We're talking to you! If you'd like to help, now maybe, so this will help, right? Because sometimes you're afraid you're going to get locked into something. So we won't lock in. So just say, look, I'd like to try this once or twice. I'd like to greet. I'm going to greet once or twice. I'll be in the office once or twice. I'll help with the AV team. I'll just kind of hang up there once and maybe help. And then, like, if I want to back out of it, I can back out of it. I know people here. I can make that happen for you, right? If you step out, we'll make that happen for you. Last idea. Help your neighbor. Help somebody. And sometimes you have the thought, you see somebody that needs help, but you think, well, somebody else will do that. No, you're going to do that. Right? That's why the thought's been implanted in you. And so don't just watch somebody that needs help helping. Like, you step in and help in that way. Do those things. And if I can give you a scripture passage, here's your scripture passage if you need help with this body thing. Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. They've done something good. Let's see what they did that was good. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. All of these actions, right? They didn't just think it. They did it. They engaged. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is yours. Because you did it. And you're doing it. Church, engaging and loving God and others through our head and our heart and our body, it is the command. It's the challenge that Jesus puts out there for us. That's the command. Last week, the beginning of this week, I spent a couple days in Indianapolis. I was with about 20 other pastors from the Midwest area. I've said this before. I joined this different network of pastors. It's called the Next Level Relational Network. And it's a non-denominational group. They really care about the health and vitality of pastors. They really know that it's a struggle. They want pastors to be healthy. They want them to be vital. They want to help with that. Now, even though I say it's non-denominational, I gotta tell you, it's got a leaning to it. It's got a leaning to it as far as the type of pastors that are in there. And the leaning seems to be Pentecostal. Right? lot of Pentecostal or Pentecostal-ish. Like, they're non-denom, but they really come out of the Pentecostal movement. And when I say Pentecostal, just so you understand what I mean by Pentecostal, I mean tongue-speaking, Holy Ghost-filled, prophecy-speaking, I got a word from the Lord, Pentecostal. That's what I mean. Which I'm not really comfortable with. Because I'm a head guy. Right? I spend way too much time in here. Like, I want everything to make sense. I want it to be logical. I want it to be orderly. I really like order. Those of you who work, you know that. And Pentecostals, on the other hand, if you all grew up Pentecostal, know Pentecostals, they are great heart and body people. Wonderful heart and body people, especially in worship, right? All heart and body. All heart and body. Now, if you want to experience, if you're a little deficient in heart and body, then visit a Pentecostal church next week, right? I think we got some in town, don't we? Go visit a Pentecostal church. I'm going to warn you, as a Methodist, you might stick out a little. Who's that quiet guy in the back of the room, right? We haven't gotten an amen from him once. Because that's how I felt. The whole week, I kind of felt like, all right, I stick out a little bit here, but that's okay. That's okay to stick out a little bit, right? Because you're willing to try. You want to grow. You want to see, like, for me, once again, like, being too much in the thinking space, like, I want to see it first. Like, show me what it looks like, and then I can kind of make some decisions here, like, how far I want to step out. Friends, generally speaking, I'm never asking you all to do something I'm not willing to try myself. That I'm not actively in the process of engaging myself. Because what I want, because of this awareness that I have now, like this learning that I've been thankful to receive, what I'm aware of now is to love God with all of my mind and all of my heart and all of my strength is actually a really big challenge that I've been up against most of my life. It's so simple, but it is so hard. And so, are you willing to obey Christ's command and do this as well? Are you willing to step out a little bit? Are you willing to risk a little this week? What's your next step? Like, I gave a bunch of things, right? Maybe something else came to your mind, but what is it that you can take a step out in this week, into that place of weakness, whether it be head, heart, or body, so that you can more fully love God with all of who you are and leave nothing on the table. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom of your Son, Jesus Christ. He came and gave us the best wisdom. And it was so simple, and yet something so simple can be actually a lifelong challenge, lifelong hindrance. And Lord, sometimes we pride ourselves in actually being mostly a head person or mostly a heart person or a body. We prided ourselves on that, you know, and looked down on others who seem too much connected to other areas. And so, Lord, we repent of that. We repent of that because we've experienced some hardship in our relationships because of that judgment. We repent. And we ask that, Holy Spirit, you would help us. That you would give us eyes to see this part of ourselves we're scared of. That we might, the Holy Spirit might encourage us to walk more towards it. That we might more fully love you, head, heart, and body. And Lord, we want to do it this week. We're going to do it this week. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.